Today we also have an opportunity to make a public profession of our faith. Is that important? Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. Do you want to be confessed by Jesus before the Father? She's mine. He's mine. Is that important to you? Is it life and death? Life or death? And then the answer is yes. And so we have opportunity to confess the triune God using the Apostles' Creed. Now, again, the Apostles' Creed is not inspired, but the truths that are found in it come from the Bible, which is. And so it's a summary of what the Bible says about the triune God. And so it's question number 23 in that small three forms of unity. We're working our way through the Heidelberg Catechism this year. And so let us go ahead and confess our faith. Question number 23, what are these articles? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And so last week, we looked at when we say Jesus, I believe in Jesus Christ, what does it mean? And the focus of that name is Savior. That's when he received the name from the angel. He will save his people from their sins. And now we have opportunity to continue on. If you will turn with me to Lord's Day number 12, and we are going to be reading questions 31 and 32 that has to do with what do we mean when we say that we call him the Christ? It's not his last name. Okay, he's the anointed. That's what the word means. So let us read responsibly. I'll read the question. Question 31, why is he called Christ that is anointed? Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Spirit to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption, and our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and ever lives to make intercession for us with the Father, and our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit and defends and preserves us in the redemption obtained for us. But why are you called a Christian? Because by faith I am a member of Christ and thus a partaker of his anointing, in order that I also may confess his name, may present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him, and with a free conscience may fight against sin and the devil in this life, and hereafter in eternity reign with him over all creatures. Amen. So here we have this insight concerning Christ, the anointed. In the Old Testament, was the king anointed with oil? And when he was anointed, and the answer is yes, and when he was anointed with oil, did that also say that he had the authority to exercise the office of king? The answer is yes. When the high priest became high priest, he was one of the priests, he was in the family of Aaron, but he didn't become high priest until when? He was anointed with oil, and he became the high priest. He took on that office and calling. In there are times when you find prophets like Elisha that was anointed by Elijah with oil, but in the prophets primarily were anointed by the Spirit himself, which is what the oil symbolized. When was Jesus anointed? At his baptism. How do we know that? Because he says so. We have the declaration that the Spirit came upon him, and the testimony of John. But then Jesus himself reads Isaiah 61 right afterwards in the synagogue, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel," and so on. And he says, "Today this promise was fulfilled in your hearing. I'm the anointed of the Lord." Although he avoided the name Christ during his earthly ministry, he preferred to refer to himself as what? Son of Man. But yet he was the Christ. He's the anointed. And he is our chief prophet and teacher. He's our teacher. And he has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. John refers to him as what? The Logos. The Word. The Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. So we have our prophet and teacher, Jesus. He's also our high priest who laid down his life. He offered a sacrifice once for all. He's redeemed us and ever lives to make intercession for us with the Father. So when you pray, are your prayers made acceptable because of your righteousness or because of Christ's righteousness? Christ's righteousness. Your prayers are acceptable because Jesus takes them and brings them to the Father. He perfects them. We pray through Jesus. Is that why we say at the end of our prayers, "In Jesus' name"? Is that in the Bible? Do you find a prayer anywhere in the Bible where it ends with, "In Jesus' name"? The answer is no. So then why do we say that? Because it's through Jesus that our prayers are acceptable. So we take what Jesus says. It's, "Ask anything in my name and I will give it." So there is our biblical support. But it's through Jesus, our high priest. And then thirdly, he's our eternal king who governs us by his word and spirit and defends and preserves us in the redemption obtained for us. Do you need Jesus as your king? You betcha. We've been talking about spiritual warfare. We've been talking about putting on the whole armor of God, which is Jesus. We talked last week about prayer. Jesus is our king. He is the captain of our salvation. Do you need a captain? Are you a soldier of Christ? Are you in Christ? Are you listening to the captain's orders? Do you follow his commands? He's our king. He's our eternal king. We're going to celebrate. We're going to look at him coming into Jerusalem as king. And then notice the application. So what does that got to do with you and me? Well, if you identify as a member of Christ, if you are trusting in Christ alone for salvation, if you are in Christ, then you are a Christian. Okay? You're anointed in that sense. In his anointing. So what does that mean? Well, we're called to be prophet, priests, and kings as well. What does a prophet do? Speaks the word of God. We're called to be witnesses of what God has done with the gospel and how the gospel has impacted us. It says, "In order that I may confess his name." That's the gospel. And secondly, as priests, we're all called to be what? A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. What was Luther's great insight? One of the great insights of Luther during the Reformation is the priesthood of all believers. We don't need a priest. We don't need a human priest to get to go to God. We go directly to God through Jesus Christ. He's our high priest. But we are fellow priests in that way. And so we are called, according to Paul in Romans chapter 12, to offer our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, even the, even our thankfulness to Him. And then thirdly, with a free conscience may fight against sin and the devil in this life. We've been talking about that. The war that we have. The battle was won at the cross, right? Even before that, in the temptation of Christ in the wilderness, He defeated Satan. Bound the strong man, started robbing his house. Furthermore, in the cross, in the resurrection, in ascension, He reigns from heaven. And now we are in the mopping up operation. The kingdom of Christ is expanding in all the world. And so we fight against sin and the devil in this life, and we look forward in eternity to reign with Him over all creatures. Not as God, but as a child of God, as an adopted son or daughter. Amen? Amen.